Welcome to Food Fix, where we talk with researchers who are figuring out how to better feed the world. I'm your host, Shayna Roth. Most of the calories that support the 7-something billion people on our planet come from three crops: wheat, rice, and corn. Wheat, the oldest of the three, is grown on more land than any other crop. According to a study published in Nature Climate Change last year, a 1 degree Celsius increase in temperature is predicted to decrease wheat yields by 6% globally. So you can do the math. Global warming plus a growing global population could equal devastating wheat shortages in the coming decades. Can modern genetic research help find ways to produce wheat that is resistant to heat and drought? Jared Crane is a graduate student in interdepartmental genetics at Kansas State University, Kansas. Jared and his colleagues are exploring the potential of genetic sequencing to find climate change-resistant wheat crops. Jared is here with us today to talk more about his exciting research.
Hi, Jared, and welcome to the Food Fix.
Thank you, and it's good to be here.
As we mentioned in the intro, just a 1 degree Celsius increase in temperature can decrease wheat yield by 6% across the globe, and that number can climb up to 50% in some regions. Those sound like scary numbers to me. Do they sound scary numbers to you as well?
Yeah, the numbers are really challenging for researchers and agriculturalists around the world to be able to meet the demand for food and a growing population.
Who is going to feel the impact, Jared? Everyone who eats wheat?
The impact will be everyone who eats wheat, which is just about everyone, thinking even in developed countries, the price you pay for a loaf of bread. But in particular, some vulnerable areas are going to be low-income regions and high population density, thinking developing countries like India and parts of Mexico. Not only are going to see that price in the grocery store, but will be much more challenging just to produce enough to keep food on the table.
So how does understanding the crop genetics help mitigate the diminishing yields caused by the climate change?
One thing with understanding the genes is the crops and plants are like humans. That there's all sorts of different varieties, different shapes, different sizes. If you think about the differences between corn and wheat, but even within wheat, like humans, that can be taller, bigger, smaller. There's different varieties or different wheat lines that are genetically different. Those differences can equate to differences in yield, differences in the ability to grow under heat or drought. So a large number of these different resources in the thousands, different genetic lines, the most likely, we know that there's differences in how that crop responds to heat or drought. So what we want to do is go find those wheat lines that are performing well under drought or heat and find out the genetic makeup of that is and be able to breed that into our other elite lines that are going to be grown in hot areas. So by finding the potential to resist heat and yield well under it, then we can make crosses to our elite lines and develop lines of wheat that are going to be able to stand up to that higher temperature.
And how do you find them?
First thing is collecting the germplasm, and this has all been done. There's still some ongoing. But once you collect the germplasm, which is all the different varieties of wheat, then you've got to go out and test those in the field. So you have to just grow them out in small plots in different trials over the course of several years. So it's a very lengthy process to identify just which plants have those different genetic makeups. And once we identify them out in the field, then we can extract DNA samples from each plant and start sequencing that DNA and looking for where differences are going to show up in the DNA that could be the reason for the increased yield.
Can you summarize for us your PhD research?
So my research topic in particular is looking at heat and drought stress tolerance or resistance in wheat. Most of my research has been in Ciudad Obregón, Sonora, Mexico, with the International Maize and Wheat Improvement Center. my research, I used two different populations or families of wheat wines that have been developed by crossing parents. The parents were different in their response to heat. So in particular, one parent yielded higher grain yield on average than the other parent. So they made a cross between those lines. And then the progeny from that, which genetically is going to be made up of a mix between those two parents, we have grown that for the last 3 years and collected the phenotypic data, so what the crop looks like out in the field, along with the genotypic data, what the genetic DNA makeup of that plant is. And then we also collect the plant height, final grain yield of the plant, and we'll take and use all that data and start asking the question of which plants and that are all different makeup of the parent DNA, which plants are yielding higher, plants are yielding lower, and can we start identifying where those genomic regions are that are leading to either an increased yield or a decreased yield.
So what are the new characteristics that you are hoping to see in the new wheat variety?
So with what I'm working with, our goal is that we can identify those genetic regions that are going to be responsible for that increased grain yield under heat. And once we do that and we can identify the genetic region, we can make crosses with those wheat lines and using them as parents, and they'll pass on the genetic region to their progeny. So we can make crosses to other elite lines or other lines that are being used commercially right now to move that little genetic region that's going to give you a higher yield under heat into the next cultivars or lines. What we'd like to see come out of this is finding that genetic region and then being able to cross or breed that genetic region into future cultivars, which then is going to give us an increased yield under heat or drought conditions.
Are there any wild relatives of wheat that live in dry, hot areas that scientists are trying to breed with domesticated wheat?
Yes, there's Aegilops tauschii is the scientific name, is one of the wheats made up of three different genomes that have been intercrossed, and tauschii is one of those genomes that make up wheat, and it grows native to Mesopotamia, Iran, the Caspian Sea area, and there's hundreds or thousands of different varieties of this Aegilops tauschii that grow under all sorts of conditions of low rainfall, heat. So there are programs that are going back, and wheat was made by Mother Nature, just a cross between the tauschii and the original wheat. And so scientists can go back and recreate that cross to get more of the diversity, more of these thousands of Aegilops tauschii lines, different sets of DNA from that, and move that into wheat. But that's a long process as well, because you have to make the cross, and then a lot of these wild relatives are very useful, but they're challenging to work with if you cross them into a modern wheat and then you start looking at the progeny from the cross. There's a lot of junk that you have to sort through to find progeny that look like a modern cultivar.
Are farmers and the crop already feeling the heat, or do we have time to figure it out?
Depends on the location, but particularly in locations, as you said, feeling the heat. Where I've worked in Mexico, 2 or 3 years ago, they've had yields of 7 tons wheat yields per hectare. And the past 2 years has been relatively hot, and this year in particular was hot when the wheat was growing. And I believe the average this year in that location was under 6 tons per hectare. There is definitely a need to be finding better varieties to use. Even if next year there's a normal year, the time length that it takes to do this research, we have to start working now to be able to get a wheat variety out in 7 or 8 years. It's a long-term project that the sooner we start, the better off we are to develop varieties that are resistant to whatever Mother Nature might throw our way in the future.
What are the challenges you face in your research?
One of the biggest challenges is just weather-related. We do the majority of our work is outside in the field. So every year, because we run the trials multiple years to make sure that when we find something, we say, aha, we have a gene for drought resistance, or we have a genetic area for heat resistance, that we actually were sure that we found something, not just a random event. So we do this multiple years, but every year the weather's different. One of my drought trials that we plant the Sonoran Desert region. One of the great things about doing drought trials in the desert is you don't think you have to worry about rain. The last 2 years, the trials received an inch of rain above the normal irrigation. So if you're doing a drought trial and you get rain, it's hard to determine how much drought effect you had. The weather is a big one to start with, but then other challenges with the genetic data, with the phenotypic data, maintaining all of it, all of the data. When we sequence the DNA, we get the millions DNA sequence reads and data points. So being able to handle the large amount, the volume of the data, and storing it, and then being able to go back and ask questions that you want to ask and find the data that's going to help answer those questions is another challenge that we have.
That sounds tough. So what keeps you motivated to do your research?
The research is really challenging, but to me, a lot of motivation just comes from trying to find out why plants grow the way they do, how they respond in the environment. And then this is even visually, you can go out into some of the fields and the trials. You see a difference in how those plants respond. You can actually see, you know, whether it's in plant height, whether it's in plant color. At the end of the year, when we harvest and we have a bag of grain and one bag is twice as heavy as the other bag of grain, so we can see that. And to me, it's really fun. It's the intrinsic challenge of saying, wow, these things are different. What's the difference coming from? And how can we go back and identify where this difference is? And once we do that, thinking long-term about seeing the research we're doing now out commercially growing in farmers' fields, I mean, that's going to be the really motivating part for me.
Wonderful. Thank you very much again, Jared, for your time. And we wish you the best of luck for your research.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for listening. Would your diet change if wheat became more expensive because of shortages? Email us at foodfixpodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to email us at foodfixpodcast@gmail.com. We love hearing from you. Food Fix is produced by Ali Hussein, Casey Wurst, and myself, Shayna Roth. Karina Baskett is our managing editor. Our theme music is the song Watching My Garden Grow by two of our favorite Michigan artists, Lindsay Liu and Josh Rilko. Funding for the podcast is provided by the Global Center for Food Systems Innovation at Michigan State University, a development lab funded by USAID.